Happy Sabbath, brothers and sisters. Good morning. Maybe it's afternoon. Now, I always think about things in a different way nowadays. I don't know if you think like that. I think of, what if I did not have a place to sleep? Or what if I did not have food to eat? And I'm thinking, have you ever thought about a time when we cannot sit together like this and worship together? COVID-19 was a test of it, but there are times we might not come together here and sit down and worship together. So when you leave this day, say hi to as many brothers and sisters as possible, because sometimes we might not come together and sit here and worship together. That's something I've always been thinking, that we know the value of things when we don't have them. When they leave us, that's when we know the value of many of the things. And it's also always a privilege to share the Word of God with you. Not because I know much than you know, just because somebody has to lead in this discussion. So don't expect me to give you all the answers. Now, today I chose a topic, the greatest battle for our salvation. Not because I have won that battle, but because I'm praying God to help me win that battle. And I thought when I share it, it rings in my mind. And maybe if there's anybody going through the same battle today, you might find answers with me in the Bible. I don't know if you have read a part where Paul says, I don't remember the verse, but Paul says, I run the race, not like someone who is doing what? Who is doing what? Beating the air. But as someone who has his eyes on the prize. And I like the verse where he says, I have fought the good fight and I have done what? I've kept the faith. And I always pray, God, when will I say I have fought the good fight and I have kept the faith, which means everything is all right. I can't say that right now. But I always ask God, when can I say I have fought the good fight? And that will be all good with me, and my heart will have a lot of joy. So let's find some of the answers in the Bible today with you. But before that, I'm going to pray. And if you can pray with me, that will be good. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning. Lord, even to have a chance to open your word, to have a chance to sit together, to discuss your word, we thank you for that. Lord, we come as we are, but we pray that you forgive us. We pray that you cleanse us. And Lord, I recognize that I don't have words of my own. And if I do have them, Lord, may you put them aside, that you may speak to your children, but also speak to me. That thy Holy Spirit teach us this morning what is your will. Thank you, O Lord, for this opportunity. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Some words of Jesus said, and we know them always, they ring in our minds. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and life. Now, those are three very strong words. I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. And if there is a way, what happens? You follow that way. If there's a way, you follow that way. And Jesus goes to his disciples, and sometimes if you watch a movie, it's of Jesus calling the disciples. You can remember that, but you can read it from the Bible. He goes and tells them, follow me. He tells everybody. He tells Matthew. He tells, you know, all that he called, tells them, follow me. And you can see, you know, you can see Matthew leaving his booth where he was collecting taxes. He follows Jesus. I don't think he went back to collect taxes again. You can think about Peter. He was a fisherman. And when Jesus came, think about the verse where Jesus tells them, throw the net. And they throw the net, and their nets are breaking because of too much fish. And Peter comes out and says, no way, just leave me, Lord. Because he realized he was such a sinner. But Peter was called. He left his nets. I don't think he went back to fishing again. He became a fisher of men. He became a fisher of men. Think about Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus was one very good example. Now, Zacchaeus is a tax collector, the most hated of all the people. he wants to see Jesus and climbs up on the tree. When Jesus comes into his home and dines with him, he gives up all his wealth. Does he go back to collect taxes again? He never went back. They all followed Jesus. They didn't go back to what they were doing. But think about it. There were many who could have wanted to follow Jesus, but did not. There were many. Not that they didn't want, they really wanted to follow Jesus, but they did not. Why do you think they did not follow Jesus? What kept them in those times to follow Jesus? They saw him face to face. He was there with them. He told them he was the way, the truth, and the life. In short, what he was telling them is, I am the salvation. You have been waiting for a Messiah for a long time. It's me you are waiting for. What do you think kept them from following Jesus at that time? Yes, Brother Gay.
Persecution.
And
condemnation.
Persecution, condemnation.
Amen.
What do you think might keep us from following Jesus today? What might keep us from the salvation that Jesus is giving freely to us? There might be many reasons. There can be many reasons. You can name all of them. But there is a special reason that I want us to look at today. A very special reason. And I think, to the best of my knowledge, it stands way high on all the other reasons that we might be kept away from Jesus. Now, you can prove me wrong, but it stands really high on one of the reasons that might keep us from following Jesus. I'm going to give you the first hint, and you can tell me, two people can tell me what they think. You might have read in the Bible that it's so hard for a rich man to enter the kingdom. Like it's what? It's actually easy for what? For a camel to go through the eye of a needle. Now, don't discuss the eye of a needle, because they can be, but just think about it. It's hard for a rich man to go to the kingdom, but it might be easy for a camel to go through the eye of a needle. Is it riches? Is it money? And you know, in our present day world, probably riches is not a big word, but is it, you want to say something? Yeah? I want to take the one word you said. We want to be comfortable where we are. We want to be comfortable where we are. We don't want to do what? Give up our position. Now that's the answer, and that's what we are going to look at today. We want to be, we don't want to give up. We don't want to, I want to use the word sacrifice. So surrender. Now we finished the whole sermon this morning. Surrender. We don't want to give up. I wanted to keep that word, but it is surrender. It's not our jobs. It's not our profession. They are reasons too. Or do you think it's sin that will keep us from seeing or following Jesus? What is that? Now, we already mentioned it. It might be different for different age groups. Now, children will say, oh, it's because of this. But it boils down to one thing: surrender. Now, we can use other words. We can say self. God created us and gave us a free will. We have that free will. Jesus did not switch a button in Matthew and tell him to. He said, Matthew, follow me. And Matthew decided to do what? To follow Jesus. He had his tax collection booth, but he said, all right, I'm going to leave this behind. Zacchaeus had his wealth. He actually said, I'm going to give out this wealth and return to everybody. I don't care how poor I will become, But I'm going to do what? To follow Jesus. Now let's look at that today. I decided to pick only 5 stories from the Bible. I want us to make it really short. 5 stories from the Bible. The question for those 5 stories is, what kept these people from following Jesus? Or what did these people have to overcome in order to follow Jesus? Other way around. So there's success story and there are failed stories. So in the failed stories, what kept these people from following Jesus? And in the success story, what did these people overcome in order to follow Jesus? And that will be our discussion today. So as always, get your Bible ready because we are going to read a couple of verses. And always confirm what I'm reading because the Bible is the Word of God. Some of my words are just my words, but confirm it from the Bible. The first story, story number one, the rich young ruler. You can read it from different Gospels, but I want us to read it from Matthew. The rich young ruler from Matthew chapter 19, and we'll read 16 to 22. So the question is, what kept this young man from following Jesus? Many of others followed Jesus, but this young man decided, no, I'm not following Jesus. So you know the story, the rich young ruler comes to Jesus, and you know, he wants eternal life. We are going to read verse 16 to 22. He wants eternal life. Matthew chapter 19, verse 16. And behold, one came and said unto him, good master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? Do you see problems in that verse? Do you see a couple of problems? Number one, he calls Jesus who? Good master. And number two, he wants to do what? A good thing. He wants to do it. Shall I do? All right? Those are some of the problems you see there. And he said unto him, why callest thou me good? There is none good but one. That is God. But if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments. He said unto him, which, Jesus said, he says unto him, which? Then Jesus said, thou shalt do no murder, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness. And verse 19, honor thy father and thy mother, and thou shalt love thy neighbor and thyself. And verse 20, the young man said unto him, all these things have I kept from my youth up. What lack I yet? You seeing problems there? I have kept all these things. What do I miss? What do I need? He wants to be good. He wants to be good by himself. Jesus said unto him, verse 21, if thou wilt be perfect, go and sell that thou hast and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven. And come, do what? Follow me. I am the way, the truth, and life. You will come and follow me. But first of all, go and shed off. Are riches bad in that case? He was told to sell. Is the problem the riches? What is the problem there? Is it the money that he had? Why would you have a lot of wealth when your brother doesn't have? Why do I want to grab everything when my brother doesn't have? What is the background problem?
They don't see you as brother.
Say again?
They don't see you as brother to begin with.
Uh-huh. They don't? Why would you want to have everything? Yes.
I think the Bible is
humility.
Humility. Because there's wealth and everything else to
you, but
give up.
Uh-huh. Amen. He didn't want to give up, one, his wealth. And if you don't want to give up your wealth and give to your brother, you are selfish. He wants to be good by himself. He thinks he can make it. He doesn't want to surrender to Jesus. Self stood on his way. He wants to hold on. No surrender. Tell me what I'll do, but I don't want to surrender to you. I don't want to go with you. Just tell me what you want me to do, and I will sort that out myself. So, yes, Ruthie?
Say again?
Greediness. She said greediness. He wants to have everything for himself. So self is coming out again and again. He wants to have everything for himself. The rich young ruler, maybe we should read that verse 22. But when the young man heard that saying, he went away, what? Sorrowful, for he had great possessions. He can't imagine those possessions going away. He couldn't surrender. That prevented him from following Jesus. It's not the wealth, it's himself. He couldn't imagine being without those possessions. Sister White says, to those who, like the young ruler, are in high positions of trust and have great possessions, it may seem too great a sacrifice to give up all in order to follow Christ. But this is the rule of conduct for all who would become his disciples, to give up. Story number two. Story number two is the story of Felix. How many remember Felix in the Bible? Felix? Felix, Acts chapter 24. You can go there with me. Acts chapter 24. Acts chapter 24. And verse... We'll read a few verses because it's a pretty long story. But you can read the whole story. Now, Paul has been arrested from Jerusalem. The Jewish leaders don't want him anymore. They have taken him to the governor. They, you know, they are pushing that, you know, he be condemned and killed. Paul ends up in the court of Felix. I want to say before we read this that if Felix won the battle that we are discussing today, this could have been a very tremendous success. The governor could have followed Jesus, and that could have been a very big success. But he did not win this battle that we are discussing today, and Felix ended up the way he ended up. Acts chapter 24, let's read verse 24 to 27 only, but you can read the whole story. And after certain days, when Felix came with his wife Drusilla, which was a Jewess, she was Jewish, he sent for Paul and heard him concerning the faith in Christ. So remember, the Jewish leaders have accused Paul and they have said all the things, but Felix did not see anything wrong in that. And so the Jewish leaders have gone, and Felix is saying with his wife, bring that Paul, let him tell us about Christ. Let him tell us about Jesus. Verse 25, and as he reasoned of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come, Felix trembled and answered, go thy way for this time. When I have convenient season, I will call for thee. What's going on there? Felix is listening, and what is happening to him? He's getting convicted. He's like, that makes sense. And he's like, but I don't want to give up. I don't want to surrender. Okay, let's stop it right here. I don't want to continue hearing that. Let's talk about it another time. He hoped also, so he doesn't want to surrender this time, but he also hoped that money should have been given him of Paul, that he might lose him. Wherefore he sent for him the oftener and communed with him. What, do you understand that? Oh, you want to say something? Okay, sorry. Yeah, go ahead. Go ahead. Then we'll finish reading.
So the text says, he trembled.
Yeah.
Because God was talking about temperance and judgment.
Yeah.
So Felix was a wicked governor.
Yeah.
He did not want to be judged.
Uh-huh. I don't want to hear that. All right? So, I mean, when we are told judgment is coming, we might fear and tremble. But that tells you that it's sunk into the heart. But there are two options. You either can give up and say, okay, Lord, I'm going to I'm going to do something about it, or put plugs in your ears and walk away. So verse 26, he hoped also. What is that saying? He was a corrupt leader, like we've heard. He hoped that one day money will be brought, so some bribe will come in so he can release Paul at some point. He was really corrupt. And we know the history of Felix. Later on, he was convicted of corruption, but he did not die. I think the Roman emperor just gave him relief. He didn't kill him. But he was convicted being a very corrupt leader. But after 2 years, Porcius Festus came into Felix's room, and Felix, willing to show the Jews of pleasure, left Paul bound. So when he left, nothing happened. He left Paul there. He went away. His heart was the way it was. He didn't make a change, and so on. This could have been a success story. Remember, his wife is Jewish, and he knew they were waiting for the Messiah. And both as they're listening, I'm sure they understand he's talking the truth. He's talking about Jesus. Felix was nearly converted. Felix nearly heard the words of life, but something stopped him. Now, if you read spiritual prophecies, that Felix could not imagine losing his position. Felix could not imagine being out of his position. He was so high to be able to come down and accept Jesus, because that meant something different. If he accepted all that Paul was saying, things could have been different with his position and others. But that stopped there. Felix could not surrender and accept what was put before him. Story number 3. The story of the Pharisee and the publican. So we are coming close to the 5. Only 5 stories to answer our question today. The story of the Pharisee and the publican. Luke chapter 18. You can read it on several gospels, but let's read it from Luke. Now Luke always writes more and details. So Luke chapter 18, he gives us more detail. And verse 10 to 14. Now this is the parable that was given by Jesus. He says, so this is a parable. Jesus is describing it. The two men, verse 10, went up into the temple to pray. The one a Pharisee and the other a publican. Now a Pharisee, think about it. If you don't know, a Pharisee is a teacher of the law. They knew everything. They knew a lot. And they were, you know, the leaders of the day. They knew a lot. And everybody looked up to them. But the publican was hated because they worked for Rome. And they were like outcasts. Nobody wanted to see them. Verse 11, the Pharisee stood and prayed, thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess. And the public, verse 13, and the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And Jesus says, I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other, for everyone that exalted himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. What is the problem with the Pharisee? What kept him from being justified? Self-righteousness. Yes, Brother Gary.
Well, you're saying that a certain group of people were less than he was.
Right.
Not confessing his own sins and asking forgiveness.
Yeah. Yeah. He asked for the forgiveness, the publican. But the Pharisee could not imagine asking for what? Forgiveness, because he was righteous. I mean, how can I say, Lord, forgive me, when I'm a Pharisee and I'm righteous? So he could not surrender. He could not say, Lord, I don't have righteousness of myself. I wonder whether he read Isaiah, where he says, our righteousness are like what? filthy rags because they were the teachers of the law. But in short, self-surrender stood on the way. He could not give up. He could not surrender. He could not give up his life to Jesus. Story number 4, John chapter 12, and we are going to read verse 41 to 44. John chapter 12, and we read verse 41 to 44. And then the last story, but let's read this one first. John chapter 12, verse 41 to 44. 41 says, "This thing said Isaiah," that's Isaiah, "when he saw his glory and spake of him. Nevertheless, among the chief rulers also, many believed on him, but because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue. 43, for they loved the praise of men more than the praise of God." What is standing on their way? What self is standing on their way? They could not believe being out of the temple, being on their seats as leaders. That prevented. But they believed. They understood Jesus and they believed this is the truth. But self prevented them from giving up. The last story is this, a successful story of Nicodemus. John chapter 3, verse 1 through 18. But we are not going to read all of that. Now, Nicodemus comes to Jesus. But that's a success story. And Nicodemus is one of the Pharisees, a man of the Pharisees. He was named Nicodemus. And he comes to Jesus. What is his question? He says, verse 2, "The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest, except God be with him." What problem do you see there in that verse? What is his problem? He says what? He says, "Rabbi." Now, when he says Rabbi, what does he mean? He doesn't want to say Jesus is, you know, he doesn't want to recognize the position of Jesus. He's saying, "Rabbi, you know, you're a teacher like me." You know, so he has a problem there. And, you know, "You're doing miracles." And Jesus answered and said, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Now, Jesus is drawing his attention away from discussing who Jesus is, because he's saying, "Rabbi, you must be from God." It's not, Jesus doesn't want to tell him, "Oh yes, I'm the Son of God. I came from God. I know all these things." Jesus is quickly drawing his attention away from those discussions and telling him, "Look, I know what you need. There's one thing you're missing." Because Nicodemus had something in the heart that he wanted to be fulfilled. He knew he's missing something. And Jesus could read his heart and tell him, "Okay, this is what you miss. You should be born again. That's all you need." But Nicodemus, look at verse 4. Nicodemus said unto him, "How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born?" Do you think that's a genuine question? Now, Nani says, "No, that's not a genuine question." Exactly.
And to be baptized in
the Holy Spirit. Yeah. So that's what Jesus meant. Yeah. Exactly. I mean, this man of this age, you should know, you can't go back to your mother's womb. I mean, you can't go back. So he still wants a deeper discussion, and Jesus is quickly giving him the truth, not to concentrate on that discussion. He says, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee." Now here's the answer. "Except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom." And Jesus gives him all of the answers. If you go to verse 9, Nicodemus wonders, "How can this be?" And Jesus asks him, You are a master of Israel and you don't know these things. How can't you know these things?" Nicodemus had a heavy heart. He wanted to his spiritual hunger to be fulfilled. But when he comes, he wants first his questions to be answered. He wants a discussion. But I love what Jesus does. Jesus sends him to the truth, quickly to the truth. And Nicodemus, if you read the whole story, when he is at the Sanhedrin, when Jesus is being condemned, he warns the people. Later on, after Jesus dies, what does Nicodemus do? He is the one who comes with the money, and him with Joseph and Matthias, they bury Jesus. And Spirit of Prophecy says, Nicodemus became a great pillar in the early church, using all his money to spread the gospel, but he was persecuted afterwards, and he had to leave his homeland. That was one beautiful, successful story. Jesus says, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Deny himself means putting yourself aside. The cross means dying, die to self, and follow Jesus. Now, baptism might mean the same thing. Most of the time we say we buried in the water, meaning we are dead to sin. But Paul says in Galatians 2:20, says, I am crucified. That death in the water of baptism, also meaning killing self. I am crucified, Paul says. I am no longer Paul, but I still live. But you know why I live? Is because of Jesus who does what? Lives in me. It's not me anymore as Paul. Self can prevent us from seeing Jesus. And Timothy, if you read from 2 Timothy chapter 3, he says, in the last days also, men shall become lovers of their own selves. We don't want to give ourselves up. Amassing wealth, all these things, is just because we love ourselves, which is not bad, but if that prevents me from giving my life to Jesus and surrendering, then it's a problem. This is the battle that if we win it, everything will be behind us. And I pray that all of us can be able to win that battle as I fight that battle myself. And this is my prayer for you all in the name of our Lord Jesus. Amen. Oh dear Heavenly Father, we humble before you, Lord. But we thank you, Lord, for loving us when we were yet sinners. And the Lord, you sent your Son to die for us. And thank you for reminding us that you are the way, the truth, and the life. The Lord, we should carry our crosses and follow you. Dear Jesus, you know how hard it is for us as humans. Lord, we pray this morning that you may humble our hearts. The Lord, you may take our hearts. Help all of us, Lord, to surrender to you and let you live your life in us as you did in Paul. I pray this morning, Lord, that for all of us, we will someday say, yes, we have run the good fight. Help all of us, Lord, to surrender to you and give our lives to you. Now be with us as we go through the week. Protect each and every one. And Lord, bring us back together again to worship you and to share together. In Jesus' name, amen.